Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Douglas Impoga. This evening we'll talk about the East African regional community and how it has handled the coronavirus pandemic. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54. And Nelly Mora Nyangorora is a Kenyan independent journalist. She's joining us from Nairobi. Guys, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You're very much welcome. As I said, the East African region has had various disparate reactions and interventions to the COVID pandemic. So, Vincent, as we've been hearing, in some case states like Burundi and Tanzania, they handled it differently. They didn't even, some of them stopped testing. Kenya has tried its best. Uganda is also is there somewhere in between. Rwanda has also had its own challenges. Why do you think they couldn't act together as a regional bloc?
Yes, I think that on its own is very telling, that these countries have not come to see themselves as one entity. They're still operating as separate countries with their own political agendas and their own approach to development. The fact that they couldn't quickly sit together and talk about how do we handle this, because if this is a blueprint of the East African community, meaning we are looking at our people as one, as a bloc, we are looking at our countries that as being with very porous borders, because you know, we want to encourage people to move from one side to another. It would have been expected that they sit together, come up with a great plan on how to deal with this. But instead, each country went its own its own way. Tanzania, under President John Magufuli, in fact, said COVID is the work of the devil and public worship in churches and mosques were to continue so that as we pray, we can defeat the coronavirus disease. And then we saw what happened in Burundi and Kenya, of course, and Uganda did things differently, although Kenya and Uganda were at least acknowledged there is a virus and they were fighting it. So I think that on its own, it was very telling that these countries are yet to come to a point where they see themselves as being getting closer to one big block that sees its people as one.
See, Nelly, what's your take? Because I was told recently even there was a lot of concern among truck drivers crossing from Kenya to Uganda, for instance, having to be tested again and then crossing to another border being tested again, and the whole thing seemed to be a mishmash of policies.
Indeed, we have not seen a coordinated or a collaborative response by the community. And this is despite a meeting that was held around mid-May by the presidents of Uganda, Rwanda, South Sudan, and Kenya, with the exception of Burundi and Tanzania skipped that meeting, where they came up with a communique. It was a virtual meeting that came up with a communique to agree on a harmonized system for even testing and certification, and also adopting surveillance that will track drivers and engage in a response that will not compromise on the common market protocols. And despite that meeting and the communique that came out of it, we have seen very little effort by the community. As a region, coming together towards implementation of the COVID-19 control measures and even towards adopting a structured way of communicating the progress in terms of even interventions and best practices. Because when you look at the region, the numbers in Uganda, Rwanda, South Sudan seem to be lower than that of Kenya. We've not seen the region coming out to help each other to make the numbers come down. So this is really, it raises question on the test, on the unity of the region in terms of crisis.
I see. Vincent, what does this say to this bloc? Because this was a crucial matter of health, or people dying or saving lives. And there seems to have been no agreement up to now. That each country took its own direction.
Yes, I mean, this tells you that if this was a test of how realistic this idea is, and to what extent it can successfully be realized, this test was failed. This is very clear. Indication that this country is very, very far from uniting, because this was a critical moment. A virus that threatens millions of lives, a virus that threatens the development of an entire region by stymieing economic development through the impediment of free trade across the borders. This was supposed to be of the greatest concern. Almost an existential issue here. Like, how do we ensure that our people live, survive, and also economically we can stay afloat after this is all done? But then when you look at these countries are dogged by suspicion. For example, Tanzania, one of the big members of the East African community, or that the aspiring East African community, treats countries like Kenya with a lot of suspicion. We have seen a lot of rivalry from trade issues, sometimes even issues of immigration. Tanzania treats Kenya like it was an enemy nation, yet you're supposed to belong to the same bloc. We have seen when it came to trade issues, when Uganda discovered oil in 2006, what followed was that initially, while Kenya was supposed to host the pipeline that was to facilitate the export of the crude oil from Uganda, Uganda instead preferred to work with the Tanzania, and things changed midway, which was kind of brought a bad taste to the Kenyan authorities. But since then, we've had, for example, Tanzanian leader John Magufuli say terrible, sometimes really unsavory things about Kenya, about what's going on in Kenya, and so this creates a wedge, this creates suspicion, and this becomes an impediment towards any realization of the East African community as desired by a great majority of the citizens themselves.
I see. Nelly, because the community or the bloc or the region, is the concern should be among the people. Now, with this kind of disparate ideas and solutions, how do you think that it will hinder or maybe help in combating the pandemic?
Yeah, indeed, without that visible collaboration, you know, the East Africa community was formed with the intention of bringing the countries within the community, the six partnerships together. And it seeks to do this through trade, through the cultural integration and other practices that give that impression that we are together. But looking at the non-verbal communication that has come from partner states, we've seen that even when it comes to the common trade between Tanzania and Kenya, there's been reports coming out that most of the people who have been going to trade in Tanzania from Kenya have faced a lot of, harassment, because the kind of treatment given to them in view of COVID, they are taken through a very rigorous process before they access the market. So there's been that mistrust that is coming out. Yes, we are opening our borders, but there's a way we are being treated that shows that we are really not welcome. So are we really part of the community? And there is also, when you look at the kind of program, the sectors, like when we see Rwanda opening up their schools and continuing the education, Kenya still grappling, there is no common approach Yes, the East Africa Community Mission is to deepen economic, political, social, and cultural integration to improve quality of life. So if each community, if each partner is doing things their own way, then there'll be no time they'll come together to have that, they'll not be on the same path, they'll not be on the same progress. Everybody is doing things their way, then what does that mean for the community, for that joint effort to bring things at the same level? So the mistrust and the non-verbal communication coming from how the partnerships are conducting or other interacting is a big sign as to whether there is a future in the East Africa cooperation.
For those just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you from VOA here in Washington. And tonight we're looking at how the COVID-19 pandemic has tested the fragility of the East African community. And our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor, VOA's Africa 54, and Nelly Mora Nyangorora, a Kenyan independent journalist who's joining us from Nairobi. Nelly there brings out something crucial, because this was a real test. Now, for instance, she mentioned briefly on education. Most East African children study across countries. Kenyans in Uganda, Ugandans in Kenya and elsewhere. And in one country, they're saying no schools, and others are opening. It's a mishmash of policies. This is a real test.
Yes, it is a big test. And indeed, I mean, if you're going to dream about having an East African community that almost mimics one huge country, you know, there have been all these grand ideas about trade, about opening up borders with the, you know, visas that allow you to go from the other country to the from one country to another without any problem. There have been all these ideas about, of course, even a common currency. If you're going to realize that grand idea, you have to demonstrate it by how you deal with the challenges that face the entire region. If COVID-19 wasn't the challenge that required an East African cooperation, an integrated approach, then what challenge can this regional bloc handle together? This was the best time to demonstrate that as a regional bloc, or as countries aspiring to have this, to build this amazing regional bloc, let's work together. It has been it's been a long time coming. You would have expected over time the leadership would have sat down and gone through all the scenarios and figured out what to do as a regional bloc. And then they can determine, of course, it could be possible that cases in Uganda are fewer than cases in Kenya, or cases in Tanzania are not as much as those in Burundi. Then you come up with a plan of, okay, how do we coordinate this? How do we ensure that we are not across border infecting each other willy-nilly, but we can still continue working as one regional bloc, enjoying one big regional market of 1 million people. And then, not 1 million, I meant millions of East Africans, and then try to figure out how to survive this terrible, scary moment, and not only survive with their lives, but also survive economically and continue with the rest of the activities like education. So for me, this is a test that has been failed, and this is a testimony that the East African community needs to maybe take a step back, and each individual country needs to start asking, are we really working towards this grand idea, or are we just entertaining a fantasy in our head, but when it comes to time for reality, we just can't step up to the plate?
This failure or this lack of coordination, some people attribute it to having different types of governance in different those different countries. Some are democratic, some are semi-democratic, some are dictatorial. Some have had leaders like Museveni has been in power for 35 years. Kagame has been there for long. So in that situation where the political systems are different, I'll begin with you, Nelly. Do you think there can be a meaningful coordination or working together or uplifting the people in the region as a group? Or it's maybe it's chasing wind, because as the COVID pandemic has shown, coordinating is not possible among those people.
I think the main challenge has been mistrust and the lack of goodwill towards each other. For instance, when you look at the Kenya's infrastructural project, the standard gauge railway, the intention of Kenya was to have this railway go up to DRC Congo through Uganda and through Rwanda into DRC. We saw that Kenya even invited Museveni, President Museveni, here sometime last year, and even took a ride in the SGR. President Museveni was even enticed with some land in Naivasha that we will use as a way, where now there'll be it will be used as a dry port. And this was, when he left, Kenya was optimistic that Uganda is going to board this Northern Corridor expansion. But when Uganda went back, then Tanzania, who had expressed some interest, decided to pursue another route. It decided to go for the Southern Corridor, look for money elsewhere, develop, entice Uganda. Uganda felt this is a cheaper option. And Rwanda, because it has trained and fostered relations with Uganda, is looking at the Southern Corridor as a better option for it. And they're also engaging with Tanzania towards that, leaving Kenya isolated. And South Sudan is also feeling that this is it's a better option. So already there's no goodwill among the partners. Yes, it could be because of the system of governance or the different political governance styles. But again, it is mainly due to mistrust and others playing some cards under the table when it comes to pursuing things of interest like trade.
It's when you look at the political systems across the East African region, it's really difficult to see how this can become a unified region. First, of course, if you don't have a common vision about a political system, I mean, take it an example from the European the EU, the European Union. You will see that all those countries are democratic. They hold elections peacefully. They change leadership from time to time. Of course, unless you're a queen, then you can stay on for. But in terms of the real political kind of structures, they're all united in terms of their idea of the politics. When you have leadership that is handling their own, handling their countries in their own way and have their own idea of how politically their countries should function, when you have some of the countries not believing, for example, in freedom of expression, where there's no platform for the opposition, where elections are not supposed to happen because the person in power believes that seat belongs to them forever, you will not achieve a political union. You will not achieve a union because there will always be upheavals, and these upheavals become sidetrack you from pursuing that noble idea of having a unified region. So many of these leaders end up being entrenched in survival, in trying to survive politically, that in fact realizing this regional bloc dream becomes less important, and their survival in the system, their stability in terms of how they can continue benefiting from being at the top of their countries becomes paramount. So I think for now, even the political structures in the different African, East African countries, I don't see unity, I don't see this East African bloc becoming a reality anytime soon. The ideas are good. The dream, the fantasy is very tantalizing, but realistically, the implementation of this, the realization of this, I don't see it.
I see. Nelly, the leaders, it appears the problem comes from the leadership. That's why they have failed to agree. But these African people are one. And at what point will the people themselves demand integration, demand coordination, demand political unity? What do you think? Is there a chance that the people themselves could have a bottom-up sort of approach and make things change?
I highly doubt that the people might have an influence in that integration because there's been no like citizen participation towards their views as to how to make this integration work. And we see that even on social media platforms, there's always been, sometimes you find people chiding each other. If there's something about Tanzania, you see each, people telling each other off on social media platforms. And bring back to the kind of the political government that we are seeing in East Africa, we are seeing that most of those governments are somehow similar, just that Kenya now is a bit ahead. Because when you look at Tanzania, they are at a place where Kenya was in 2007. They have just concluded election, and we see that immediately after the conclusion of the election, which is disputed, there's been opposition figures who are being arrested. Some have even fled into Kenya. One is seeking asylum, and Kenya almost detained him, but his lawyer went, and even the Amnesty International issued a statement warning Kenya that it is a signatory to protecting asylum seekers. So we see that Kenya was that in that space some years back. And because of several interventions and people who are more free and the expansion of the freedom space by those who fought for the constitution, we tend to have moved ahead. So Tanzania, its citizenry are not really empowered enough to come out and speak out. And those who have attempted to do so recently have ended up in prison. Some have even been tortured. And in Uganda, we've even seen that the voter, President Museveni, is not open to criticism. We have seen how he has clamped down, or he has attempted to clamp down on opposition and any other candidate that comes out strongly. So the countries in the East Africa region are just experiencing the same thing. It's just that the time frames are different. Kenya has moved because of the freedom space has expanded based on how the activism that has been vibrant. And the other countries are still lagging behind because their people are still, like Tanzania, the people are still, they still have the inhibitions, maybe because of where they're coming from. They don't question the state. So the citizenry of the countries involved, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya, are not at the same level where they can come out vocally to stand up and say, we want a united East Africa community.
I see. Vincent, what's your take on that?
Yeah, and then, of course, the fact that generally the majority of the citizens don't perhaps even understand the whole concept of the East African community, the benefits of it. I mean, we talk about some ordinary citizens in the far-flung regions of the country who are concerned today about just trying to survive day to day. This was supposed to be an issue that the leadership takes the lead on this because they can see the bigger picture. Somebody in my remotest part of my village may not really have a great thought of East African community concept and may not know what to do. You can't expect those people to mobilize down in the villages of Kisii or some other, you know, place in Uganda or Tanzania and say, we are demanding for the East African community. They may not. Their priorities are different in as much as this actually benefits them. in as much as some of them don't even recognize the borders. I mean, all the people around the border areas of our countries don't even understand why there's a border there. So they see the benefits of trading with each other, visiting each other, going to school to each other's countries. But the bigger plan, the bigger idea of unifying this into a regional bloc is supposed to be spearheaded by the leadership, because they understand the mechanics of achieving that. The citizens may desire it, but they don't have a way. And some of them may not even be thinking about it, because they are thinking about more immediate needs, survival needs.
As we went out, the community had hopes of having a political federation at some point. Briefly, Nelly, do you see that happening in the medium term, short term, or long term?
I think we still have a long way to go in terms of achieving a political federation, because we see that even the legislative arm of the East Africa community, that is EALA, the East Africa Legislative Assembly, it still has a long way to go in terms of coming up with laws that are uniform and can govern the region. When we look at the Common Market Protocol, it's still not being implemented as envisaged. We have representatives to EALA who are not even known in their respective countries. The only thing that East Africa community has achieved is a national anthem. That is, and even that national anthem, it's not like it resonates with the member, the country, the citizenry of the East Africa community. So when it comes to political federation and all this mistrust and suspicion, I think we still have a long way to go.
I see. Vicente, what do you think?
Yeah, first, interesting that Nelly mentions the EALA, the East African Legislative Body. That is one of the sweetest jobs anybody can land, because those men and women do nothing, but they earn unbelievable allowances. They have sitting allowances. They stay in one country after the other. Of course, in the whole idea that they are deliberating on issues related to the East African community. We just need to go back and ask, what tangible thing has been achieved? A lot of money has been lost, wasted, just paying salaries and allowances to representatives of their countries who do nothing, basically because there is nothing to be done. The countries are very, very far from realizing the East African community dream. It will take a lot, but it would take a number of things. They have to be willing. There has to be a trust among the nations, because if they do not trust each other, if Tanzania treats Kenya like an enemy country rather than a fellow, a member of the same bloc, if you Rwanda and Burundi can't sit together on the table, if Uganda Rwanda and Uganda have having problems, you cannot realize this. So unless they come to a realization that maybe we need to sit down and talk about, can it actually happen? Do we have what it takes to have a union? And if we don't, do we abandon it? If we are determined to make it work, how do we resolve our problems? Start with the political systems, then come to the suspicions and enmities between these countries. Otherwise, it is a waste of time, and it becomes just a dream and ends at a dream level. That's it.
I see. Well, that's about it for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54. Vincent, thanks very much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
And thanks to Nelly Mora Nyangorora, who is based in Nairobi. Nelly, thanks much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure to you.
You're welcome. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it on our main website. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, wishing you all the best.